Praise the Lord. Would you turn in your Bibles to Gospel of Mark chapter 9, and we'll just read one verse as we begin this morning. It'll be verse 24. Amen. Could you go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word? And right before we read, take a moment to smile at the neighbor on either side of you this morning. Just smile at him real big. Some of you caused your spouse to faint. Amen. Mark chapter 9, verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Now that's a prayer if we would. We could really stand to use that prayer many times in many different situations. Just take it as our own prayer. Lord, I believe. In fact, let me just do a quick polling. How many has found yourself praying that prayer? Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I want to preach on the Jesus response this morning. Jesus helps unbelief. Jesus helps unbelief. Jesus, help us this morning. And this picture that shows your response, your love for us humans, Lord. And as we struggle and as we battle, Lord, how you come by and you enable and you help. Jesus, be glorified in everything that's said and done, Lord. May there be a growing sense of your presence through the preaching of the word. May you take the word, Lord, and that which we need, may you target our hearts. You know every need in the house. Lord, you know what everyone has faced this past week and what they'll be facing in the week to come. And Jesus, I pray by your Holy Spirit, make your word a living thing, God. May hope grow in hearts. May faith grow, Lord. May strength come into people's lives and minds, Lord, through the preaching of the word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. And you can be seated. Jesus helps unbelief. In the preparation of this message, twice I had folks this past week come to me and shared their hearts, and it went something like this. Pastor, I have so many struggles. Pastor, there's so many doubts that I wrestle with, so many unbeliefs. I don't even know if I should keep trying. I don't even know if I should keep coming to church. And here's why, because I feel like a hypocrite trying to worship, and I feel like a hypocrite trying to pray, and I feel like a hypocrite coming to church because I do wrestle with things and I wrestle with doubts. I think maybe I should just quit. Well, I want to tell you this morning, there's no place to quit because Jesus helps unbelief. I said, Jesus helps unbelief. You see, to have doubts, you have to have at least a little faith, or there wouldn't be anything to doubt. Did you get that? To doubt, you have to have a little faith, or you wouldn't have anything to doubt. But this story tells us we can come to Jesus. You don't stop coming to Jesus because you have doubts. This story tells us we can keep coming to Jesus in spite of our doubts. And it's more than just coming to Him in spite of our doubts. It's the fact when we come to Him, He'll help us in spite of our doubts. Oh, what a Savior. Come to Jesus, doubts and all. The story says, act upon what faith you have. It isn't whether you doubt or not so much as it's whether you keep coming to Jesus or not. You may keep having doubts, but keep coming to Jesus. Did you hear me this morning? I said, you may keep having doubts, but keep coming to Jesus, because Jesus helps unbelief. Don't let your unbelief stop you. Don't let your unbelief keep you from out of the house of God, keep you at home. Don't let your unbelief keep you from praying and worshiping. Just keep coming to Jesus. In our story, here's the human need. I'm going to read most of the story here. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, and he said, "Why question ye with them?" Here's the story. Jesus had been upon the Mount Transfiguration. His very countenance and garments had been brighter than the sun. Peter, James, and John was with them. What an experience. But when they came off the mountain, I don't know how far down they were when they could see that the nine remaining disciples were surrounded by these local religious scholars. And the religious scholars had their finger in the disciples' face, and the disciples, the nine remaining disciples, were embarrassed. And Jesus could tell that they were letting his disciples have it. But when Jesus got close enough that the crowd recognized that it was Jesus, the crowd began to leave those scribes encircling the disciples and run to Jesus. But Jesus wasn't just going to let his disciples be attacked. And so he inquired of those religious scholars. He said, "Why are you interrogating my disciples?" The disciples didn't answer. The scribes didn't answer. The crowd didn't answer. But a man in the crowd, a desperate father, answered. He spoke up. Verse 17, "And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not.'" Even the thing that compelled this father to speak up in spite of his little faith, the thing that compelled this father to come to Jesus in spite of his little faith, is that he had a desperate need that involved his son. I tell you, one thing that'll have you coming to Jesus is when your need gets desperate enough. This man had a desperate need. And I would like to say, in the behalf of every parent in the house, there is nothing as disturbing, there is nothing as upsetting to parents that when their children are suffering great needs, and especially great spiritual needs. That is upsetting to parents. This father's upset, and he begins to account to Jesus. Amen. Brother Michael, just a little more on these. I can't hear myself up here. Amen. He begins to account to Jesus what was going on with his son. And he said, "Since my boy has just been a small child, a demon will seize hold of my boy. It just comes all of a sudden upon him. And my son will begin to scream as the demons tear at him on the insides. And then I watch as my boy goes into convulsions and begins to gnash his teeth and foam at the mouth." The Gospel Luke says that this spirit hardly ever let up. It wasn't just a rare episode. It was a continuous thing that happened. Matthew said the spirit would take the boy and try to throw him in the fire to burn him, or throw him in the water to drown him. Mark said that he pineth away. That means he was emaciated. He was deteriorating. He was growing more weak. Mark also said, in saying that he pineth away, Mark was saying that the father told Jesus, "It's killing my boy." Amen. And here's the worst thing. The boy can't even speak up for himself. The boy can't pray for himself because he's mute. This is a desperate father with a desperate need. And to summarize it, the father said to Jesus, "The demon is trying to kill my boy. The demon's trying to kill my son." I want to tell us something as parents across this building and grandparents. There are things in our land that are trying to kill our
our children. Now that demon took hold of that boy to try to kill him. But there are things taking hold of children across the land and youth and teenagers, and they have but one goal: kill them, kill their spiritual life, kill their prospects of living for God, kill them in body, kill them in mind, kill them in soul. That's what this demon was trying to do. Oh, what a need. I said, oh, what a need. The destructive, the tearing, the ruin that Satan would like to wreck as he lays hold of a child and a teenager. That's why I've got to insert one more time. It is true. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. There's something trying to kill our children, but there's also one trying to save our children. Hallelujah. A desperate, desperate father with a desperate need. Let's look at the usual and probable response. Verse 18, the father said to Jesus, I spoke to thy disciples that they should cast him out, the demon, and they could not. I'll tell you what the disciples' response was. Embarrassment. Desperate father comes with a desperate need, and they had been unable to help. I want you to notice, though, I'm not trying to alleviate any embarrassment or take away any responsibility, but I want you to notice the words. This is in verse 18. I want you to notice the words, and they could not. Here's the fact of the matter. It's not that the disciples were hypocritical. It's not even that the disciples were backslidden or impure. That's not the reason. The reason is there are many situations that no man can help. No mere human can help. And the disciples, in their own ability and in their own strength, they could have known the whole Bible. They could have been faithful to church. But in themselves, they could not help this boy. They could not help this father. How many knows there are yet many problems that man cannot? But I want to tell you, if you got one of those needs this morning where you cannot, and your family cannot, and your friends cannot, I want you to know what we cannot do, Jesus can. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Don't you know he can this morning? We're serving a God who can. That was the disciples. They were embarrassed. What about the scribes, the religious scholars in our story? They only saw the possessed boy not as a need. They only saw the boy and his father as an occasion to attack Jesus' disciples, to get into a theological argument. That's still the way it is. People aren't really concerned about the desperate needs. They just see a political agenda or a theological agenda, something to argue about. That's all it meant. That little boy, that he was pining away, that meant nothing to those religious scholars. All they saw was an opportunity to haggle with and harass Jesus' disciples. Amen. Amen. That's all they saw. What about the crowd? Even the crowd was just drawn to the drama of the embarrassment of the disciples and the scribes' attack on them. I mean, they liked that. They like a good fight. Amen. So the crowd gathered to watch what was going on in an exchange between the scribes and the disciples. And I think that's the pity of it all. The scribes and the crowds and maybe even the disciples in the embarrassment had forgot all about how distressed the father was and all about how tormented the demonized boy
was. Amen. That is so often the temptation is to forget the real need and get involved in the haggling and the discussing and the conflict about what doesn't really matter. I'll tell you what matters in the church. I'll tell you, it's folks getting help. It's distressed parents having hope. It's children that have been destroyed and ruined, receiving the deliverance and the freedom that only Christ can give. As I've been doing, I got to ask, what would our response be? Well, we would probably be amongst the disciples. We would probably be with them, embarrassed that somebody had a need and we hadn't been able to help them. You see, here's the deal. Don't you think those disciples prayed for that boy? See, that even made it worse. Have you been there, prayed, and a failure to see prayer answered as we anticipated? And that's bad enough. The embarrassment's bad enough, but the thing is the person still needs help. We're embarrassed, but they still need help. You see, I think in times past, people erred by thinking every problem, every physical malady was caused by some evil supernatural power. People used to err that way. You caught a flu and you need to be freed of a demon. But I think today we've erred on the other side by thinking that everything is just physical. I'm going to tell you, there's some spiritual things that can wreak havoc with your body, with your mind, with your emotions. And no amount of physical treatment, no amount of physical medicine is going to be able to help those situations. If it's a spiritual need, only the supernatural Spirit of God is able to help. And we can get in a place we've prayed and haven't seen an answer. We've sought God and not seen an answer. We feel a little embarrassed like the disciples. Amen. I don't know if you've been there, but if you've prayed for folks, you have. But here is the whole point. Here's the whole point in the disciples' embarrassment. The disciples in the crowd and even the scribes thought that it was all over with. The disciples had made an attempt and the boys still bound, and so that's it. The disciples had made a first attempt and the boy still has this demon, and so let's go home. It's been a failure. But I want to tell you something. We can make that mistake, but we must not make it, amen, just because there's been one prayer offered, just because we've come one time to the altar, doesn't mean it's over with. It's not over with until Jesus gets involved. Don't give up on your prayers. Don't get embarrassed. Don't say there's nothing to it. Amen. The point is, Jesus hadn't stepped into that situation yet, but he's about to. You don't know just how quick it is, just how near it is to the point where Jesus is about to come on the scene. That's the response. Now let's look at Jesus' response. Verse 19. Jesus answered him and saith, O faithless generation. He's talking to the man as far as looking at him and addressing him. But notice he went from the man to everybody there. He didn't say, O faithless man. He didn't say, O faithless father. He said, O faithless generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. The disciples could not. Bring him unto me. Bring him unto me. Amen. Jesus spoke to everybody there. He didn't just condemn his disciples for being unable to help the boy, but he did point out their unbelief and the scribes' unbelief and the crowd's unbelief. You see, here's the unspoken elephant in the room. The scribes were letting the disciples have it because they couldn't cast the demon out of the boy. Well, how come none of the scribes laid hands on the boy boy and cast them out? If they've got all the answers, if they're such theologians, how come they're not casting the demon out? Even the crowd can just stand there and look at the sensation and say, oh, isn't that horrible? Because the disciples couldn't cast the demon out. Well, how come nobody in the crowd stepped up and cast the demon out? You know, Jesus wasn't just getting on to the disciples or the man. He was talking to all of them, the whole generation. Well, that preacher, he's sure not preaching what needs to be preached. Then let the Holy Ghost come upon you and you give it, give the message. Well, I don't like the way they sing. Well, you sing it. Hallelujah. I'm not being smart. I'm just talking about the indictment isn't just on the disciples. It's everybody. Even old faithless generation. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? Oh, there's lots of doubt. There's lots of unbelief. There's lots of discussions going on. There's lots of theological debates. But I'll tell you what the Lord's looking for. He's looking for some faith. You say, I don't have much. It doesn't take much. Amen. Just let him see what you do have. Hallelujah. Come with what you have. He said, how long shall I be with you? You see, this happened when Jesus was on the Mount Transfiguration. Do you think things would have been different if when they prayed for that boy, Jesus had been standing right there with them? Sure it would. But here's the problem. The whole time those disciples were praying for the boy, they were saying, he's not here. He's up on the mount somewhere with Peter, James, and John. And their faith wavered because Jesus was bodily and physically somewhere else. I'm telling you, the Lord wants us to believe him, even though right now he sits at the right hand of the Father and he's in a higher place than the Mount Transfiguration. And sometimes because we can't physically see him. Amen. You say, I wouldn't have a doubt one if Jesus came in this building and took a hold of this microphone and I could see the nail scar. I wouldn't doubt then. Amen. I'm not going to go there except to say this. Amen. What Jesus is saying to the disciples is you really couldn't believe because you knew I was up on the mount and you were down here in the valley. It hasn't changed. Amen. It's still that way. Amen. Jesus saying, you won't believe me because you're down in the valley and I'm up, ascended into the heavens on the mount. I'll tell you what the Lord is desiring. He desires that we would exercise our faith even when it seems he's way up there. But I want to tell you something else. He's not just way up there on the top of the mountain, because when he ascended to the Father, amen, he sent back the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You may not see him physically. He may not be localized here in a body, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, he is here. Hallelujah. Have faith. Faithless generation. Amen. Jesus never said to this man, you don't have enough faith, so just forget it. Did he ever say that to the man? He didn't look at the disciples and say, you don't have enough faith for this boy, so let's just forget this. You know what Jesus did? Amen. Amen. He said, bring him to me. You realize what Jesus could have said that. I'm not being redundant. I'm trying to get to a point here. He didn't say, Father, you didn't have much faith. They've already prayed for your boy. You're a faithless man. Just forget it. Go home. Take your boy and his demon with him. He didn't look at the disciples and say, look, you already tried to deliver him. You didn't have enough faith. So just send the boy home. No, he said, bring him unto me. You know what that tells me? You're going to hear it again in a minute. You may not have much faith. That's not the issue. The issue is, are you bringing your need to Jesus with what faith you do have? Right? Are you bringing your need to Jesus? Exercise what little faith you do have by coming to Jesus. It at least took a little faith for the man to obey the commandment of the Lord and bring his son to Jesus. Look at verse 20. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway or immediately, the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. When they brought the boy to Jesus, the demon recognized the Son of God, the demon recognized the presence of Jesus and reacted to the presence of Jesus and began to convulse, and the boy fell wallowing and foaming on the ground. That's not a pretty sight. I do want to point out that some things get upset in the presence of Jesus. I said, some things get upset in the presence of Jesus. Amen. I want to say this to be helpful, not to be facetious. But if the moving of the Holy Spirit upsets you, there's something in you that doesn't like Jesus. I mean, a couple of Sundays ago, the Spirit of the Lord was in here in a powerful way. If you found yourself getting upset, if you found yourself getting restless, I don't like this, it's because something in you didn't like Jesus. If the anointing preaching of the Word bothers you and irritates you, something in you doesn't like Jesus. Why? Because the enemy has a hold on your life, and that's the enemy of Jesus that's getting upset. And I'll tell you why he doesn't like the presence of Jesus. I'll tell you why he doesn't like the moving of the Spirit. I'll tell you why he doesn't like the preaching of the Word. Because that's what will set you free from him. That's what will deliver you from him. That's why he doesn't like it. That's why this demon didn't like it. He knew the liberator had come. He knew the one that had authority had come. He knew the one that was going to say go, and he'd have to go. That's why the devil doesn't like it. That's why the devil doesn't like for you to serve God. That's why the devil doesn't like for you to stand true for truth, because he knows that's what frees you from him. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Verse 21, and he asked the Father, how long is it since this came unto him? And he said of a child. Now listen, I want you to think about this. Jesus is the Son of God. He didn't need to ask the Father, how long has this been? He knew. Jesus could have told it down to the second when that demon first came in this boy. Jesus knew. I said, Jesus knew how long he'd been. Why did he ask then? Let me give you quick three reasons, I think. Number one, because he felt the pain of the parents. It hadn't just been X number of years that the boy had struggled with the thing. It'd been X number of years that the parents had been heavy-hearted, anxious for their son, desirous for the liberation of their son. Jesus is showing that he's concerned about the parents when he says, how long? I think another reason is, and as in all cases, he wanted the father to confess that it had been a long time and nothing else they tried had work. Nothing gave respite. Nothing gave any type of relief. I think there was one more reason Jesus said, how long? It's because he wanted the crowd to know and the disciples to know just how long this problem had been, so his power could be seen that he delivers from long term cases, long time problems. I've got messages on that. I'm not going to preach it. But I want you to know, sometimes we know that a problem has existed for a long time, it kills our faith. Because that means for a long time we pray, and a long time we've tried to. And so if it's been a long time, we say, well, it's always going to be like this. I'm telling you, the scripture and the gospels in particular shout over and over. It may be a long time case, a long time struggle, a long time temptation, a long time physical ailment, a long time being without Christ. It don't matter how long it's been with him. Hallelujah. In fact, he holds time in his hand. Time is immaterial. It doesn't matter if it's been 5 weeks, 5 hours, 5 months, or 5 years. But I think the question is still pertinent this morning. How long has it been? How long has it been since you've had the peace of God? How long has it been since you've had any hope? How long has it been since you've had any help? How long has it been since you've struggled with that? How long has it been since you've been troubled by that? How long has it been since you've allowed Satan to come in and ruin and wreck and destroy your life, your home, everything about you. How long is it? Oh, God's trying to wake you up. It might have been a long time. Amen. Haven't you seen that nothing else can help? Nobody else could help. It's been such a long time. But that doesn't matter to Jesus. Oh, in a moment, he can erase the long time. Oh, did you hear me this morning? I said, in a moment, he, oh, hallelujah. How many believes in the power and the authority of Jesus? Of a child. I'm not going to press it. But again, I must warn us parents that things can get hold, a hold of even our children. Because this got a hold of him as a child. Parents, guard them closely. Build a hedge of godly living and prayer around your children. They laugh at these things in the world. But children that don't know truth, children that are not converted when they're able to be, children, young people that don't have parents that care, you wouldn't believe the things that's getting a hold of those children. The vileness. They can laugh about what comes over television. They can laugh when you say something about the music of this world. But make no mistake, those are things that get a hold of children and young people. Don't wait until you're in this man's place, weeping and begging, desperate for help. Verse 22, and oftentimes it's cast him into the fire in the waters to destroy him. I know I beat that nail on the head several times in this message and hadn't intended to, but that's what he's come to do, to destroy. But listen, listen to what this man says. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Oh, hallelujah. It wasn't just, he didn't just say have compassion on the boy and help the boy, but have compassion on us. It's a child. It's a family matter. It affects the whole family. It affects grandpa and grandma. It affects the synagogue, the church. Oh, Lord, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I'm telling you, that's the thing that fuels prayer, desperation. I said desperation. Why didn't the disciples' prayer get it? Maybe they weren't desperate enough. Amen. You said, oh, I'll get to that in a moment. You say, I thought it was by faith. It is by faith. But I'm telling you, there's something about desperation that'll motivate you to use what little faith you may have. It's a motive. Help us. Help us. Look what the man said. He's showing his unbelief. Not his belief so much as his unbelief. He said, if thou canst do anything. He's doubting if Jesus can. I mean, it's not a mean thing towards Jesus. Like, I really don't think you can. The man's looking at his son. He's not looking at Jesus and saying, if you can, I mean, you're just a carpenter. No, that's not what it was. He's looking at his son. It's so bad. He's saying, Lord, if you can do anything. I want you to note something real important real quick. These things are not by mistake in Scripture. Do you remember when the leper came to Jesus? What did he say? Does anyone know what he said? The leper said, if you will, if you want to, if you care to, you can heal me. The leper didn't doubt Jesus could. He just doubted whether or not Jesus wanted to. Now we have the Father. He said, if you can. He didn't really so much doubt that Jesus wanted to. He doubted if Jesus was able to. And right there captures this world today, the two classes. There's some people who say, well, God wants to do something, but he can't. And there's other people that says, well, God can do something, but he doesn't want to. Well, Jesus settled the question of wanting to with the leper. He said, I will. I want to. And he did it. And here he's going to solve the question of wanting to but not being able to. He's going to solve the question, he can do it. I want you to hear me this morning. Do you hear me? Jesus both wants to and he can. We ought to worship him right now. Come on. I said he wants to. That's the marvel. He wants to help you. But not only does he want to, he can. Come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah. I said he wants to and he can. He wants to and he can. If thou wilt, I will. If you can, I can. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If thou canst, amen. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Amen. I'm not being smart here, but I'm trying to capture what's going on. The man of the Father looked at Jesus and said, if thou canst. Jesus says, what do you mean if I can? It's not a matter if I can, if you can. It's not a question, I can do it. Amen. It's if you can believe. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad this includes all of us? All things are possible to him, her, mom, dad, young person. All things are possible to him that believeth. Oh, we're looking at God like this, Father. Lord, if you can do something, Lord, if you can do something, Lord. And Jesus saying, what do you mean if I can? If you can you believe? Oh, hallelujah. That's the question. Can you believe him? We've got every reason to believe him. Can you believe him? We've got a whole book full of reasons. Can you believe him? We've heard testimony after. Can you believe him? He's the Almighty God, Almighty Savior. Amen. If we can believe. Amen. Verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I can't hear you verbally this morning, but all across this building, make no mistake, there are people crying that very thing in your hearts and minds right here this morning. You're saying, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I know you're Lord, but I'm struggling with this doubt. I know you have all power in heaven and earth, but I'm struggling with this thing. Amen. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Amen. I want you to know this man began to weep. Lord, I believe. I want to tell you why I think he was weeping. I don't think it's because the awfulness of his son's situation hit him afresh. I think he's weeping tears of hope. You can look at the way you want to, but Jesus said all things are possible to him that believeth. I believe the man burst out in tears and began to sob. For the first time, there's hope. Amen. Day after day, year after year, no hope, no. But suddenly, thou canst believe, even all things are possible. He's sobbing in hope. I'm telling you, there is a hope this morning. I said, there is a hope this morning. Hallelujah. We don't struggle with doubt when everything's going well and all of our prayers seem to be answered. It's when the problem's really big and has gone on for a long time, and so far our prayers have not been answered. That's when we struggle with doubt. But whatever doubt you have, get a hold of that little faith. Amen. It was in the word of Christ. Jesus said it. Jesus spoke it. All things are possible to him that believes. I've got doubts, but I just heard what Jesus said. I'm going to get a hold of that. I'm going to believe that. I know I doubt here and there. Oh, but I'm going to believe that. It's not the doubt you have, it's the faith that you act upon. I want to try to, before I move on, to try to explain this. This is really tough. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I do not think the man was asking that Jesus pump up his faith until all his doubts were gone. I don't believe that's what he was saying. And I don't believe that's what Jesus does. I believe the man was being honest. He's saying, I do believe, I do have hope. But I've got all these doubts that I'm dealing with. Lord, won't you help me even in spite of the doubts? Let me try to illustrate it. Would you stand right here, Brother Ryan, sideways? This is a hill. This is a mountain you've got to get up to the top to. to get what you need from God, your blessing. It's going to take faith. You've never seen a mountain so impossible to climb. It's a sheer cliff. And to get up there, you're going to need faith. Somebody hand me a song, but quickly. Amen. The trouble is, this is the only faith you have. Hold it right there. That's the only faith you have. Amen. But to get up that mountain, amen, you look how bad it is. It's really going to take faith from here, clear up to here. But you don't have it. That's all the faith you have. You don't have faith from here, clear up to here. That's how much it really would take. I mean, look at that thing. Look how steep it is. Oh, you got this amount of faith. You believe God. You know His word. You think He can. But you got all this area of doubt right here. I believe what it's saying, not. You got it in some other song books. Amen. Just hand me one if you got one. Amen. That's a Bible that'll work. I don't think it's saying, the man was saying, help thou my unbelief. He was asking Jesus to keep giving him faith until he got up to here. What he's saying is, Jesus, this is the only faith I have. Oh, but Lord, I'm willing to exercise it if you'll help me. So here he is with this much faith and this much struggle, this much doubt. Amen. But he says, Lord, help my unbelief. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you what you're going to do about this area of unbelief. Jesus is going to come alongside you. Amen. You're exercising. See, he's exercising the faith that he has. And so Jesus helps his unbelief. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's the way it's going to. You act on the faith you have. And I believe Jesus will help you in spite of your unbelief. We're not going into all the reasons of unbelief and doubt. I'm just telling you, if you'll exercise the faith you have, if you'll put the trust you do have in him, even you may have lingering doubts, you may have struggles, amen, you may have thoughts bombarding you, but exercise the faith you have and he'll help your unbelief. That's all Jesus asks. You see, whatever the Father's doubts, he still came to Jesus. Whatever the Father's doubts, he still asked Jesus. Whatever the Father's doubts, he was still honest with Jesus. I want you to hear me. I'm about done, but hear me all across the building. People don't give up because they have doubts. People give up because they don't exercise the faith they do have. Hear me one more time. People don't give up because of their doubts. They give up because they don't exercise the faith that they do have. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Are you crying in your heart, Lord, help my unbelief? Verse 25, and when Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Jesus didn't want this to be just a spectacle or a sensation. Amen. A reason for people to make a celebrity out of him. So when he saw the crowd running towards him, he cast out the demon before the crowd got there. I'm only going to say one thing about this. Amen. Crowds are not necessarily a sign of Jesus' presence and working. The crowd's over here and Jesus is working over here. And Jesus didn't even wait till the crowd got there. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus works miracles that aren't on religious television cameras. Oh, he may be doing something for you right there in the pew right now. He's meeting your need right now. We don't have any camera to train on you. Amen. I'm not preaching against cameras. What I'm preaching against, amen, it's not to sensationalize a crowd. It's about somebody getting help and Jesus being glorified. That's what it's about. There were no antics. There was no effort. Jesus spoke and the demon left. I'll tell you why. Jesus has authority. I said, Jesus has authority. Jesus spoke as a general to a private, as a king to a peasant. He spoke as the president to an aide, and that demon had to leave. I want you to know he has all power in heaven and in earth. And he said, that power I give unto you. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You shall rebuke the spirits and they will leave. Hallelujah. I said, the power's in Jesus. It's not in a church organization. It's not in a special movement. It's not in a special charismatic personality. The power and the authority is in Jesus. Jesus. It's not hocus pocus, abracadabra. It's the word of the Lord. He speaks, and his word is the command. Last of all, the result of Jesus' response, the Spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. Oh, hallelujah. Can you imagine the relief of the Father? But when the Spirit came out, the boy was as one dead, insomuch that many says, he's dead. Can I finish your thoughts? The crowd is saying, some are saying, he brought his son to you because he thought the demon was going to kill his son. And Jesus, it looks like you just did what the man was afraid the demon was going to do. See, this demon had made a last-ditched effort to destroy that boy. He knew he was going to have to come out, but he tore that boy one more time, threw that boy to the ground one more time. He's making a last-ditched effort. He knows he's got to go, but he's going to try to kill that boy on the way out. And he lays there. He has these final convulsions, and it looks like Jesus had only made things worse. But there's another verse, verse 27, but Jesus took him by a hand and lifted him up, and he arose. He looked like he was dead after the last ditched effort of the demon, but Jesus wasn't through. Did you realize what he did? Jesus not only cast out the demon, but he restored the damage done. Did you hear what I said? Oh, I'm glad he's the God of restoration. Sin and the devil, and I know there's scars we live with. Even though I've got injuries that have healed, I still got scars. But I want you to know we serve a Savior that not only can he free us from the destructive powers of our enemy, but he can restore the damage. Oh. Hallelujah. I want to see hands of those that's had damage restored in your heart and mind. Look at that. Oh, hallelujah. How many realize through this message we're not playing games? There's an enemy seeking to destroy. And there's only one help and one hope. That's Jesus. Oh, somebody needs to get that hope right now. I said, he has all power in heaven and earth. Don't say if thou canst. He can. Don't say, Lord, if you would, he will. Oh, come on, music's all quit. Verse 28. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind cometh not out, but by forth. This kind cometh forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now, I want to go through all of that with one little short paragraph. Listen, the fact that Jesus helps us when we use our little faith in spite of our doubts does not take away our responsibility to build our faith when we can. That's what it's saying. This morning, act on the faith you have in spite of your doubts. But that does not absolve us of the responsibility that when we have a chance, we pray, we read the word, and we fast to build our faith. Amen. That's our responsibility. I've debated this. I want to try to do it just to give you one more illustration here. Amen. Nathan, I got $5, a $5 bill in my hand. Do you believe me? You really believe me? You've seen my illustrations before. Do you really believe me? I got $5 in my hand. Go ahead and come up here. Are you coming because you believe? How many concurs with him? You can believe I got $5 in my hand. I want to see your hands. You really believe it? How many has faith? Let me listen. How many has faith? I've got $5 in my hand. I'm going to destroy your faith. Watch this. I'm going to destroy you. You have faith. I got $5 in my hand. I'm going to destroy your faith. What is it? How did I destroy his faith? He don't need faith now that he's seen it. See, he was telling me the whole time he had faith, but he still had doubt. Because this is an illustration. These illustrations can go either way. And I told him I had $5. He may not have formulated all this, but you still had some doubts. I told him I had $5 in my hand, but it might have been a $1 bill. So you said you had faith, but the whole time you had faith, there had to be some doubt. Because you know I've done crazy things with these illustrations, right? Wasn't there at least some doubt whether you formulated it or not? See, the only time he didn't, now his faith, it's gone. It's not faith. It's ended in sight, as Beulah Lynn said. When you walk through the gates of the pearly gates, you don't need faith to believe in heaven. Do you? Will you need faith to believe in heaven when you walk through the gates? What I'm trying to say is, in every faith, there has to be doubt. The only reason you doubt is because there's belief. But in believing, there's a choice you make that in spite of every doubt, God's going to be true. I'll put my trust in him. Can you trust him through the storm? Can you trust him when your children have problems? Can you trust him when your marriage has troubles? Can you trust him when the church goes to a hard place? Can you trust him when you get news the job is gone? You say, well, I got all these doubts. Yes, you do. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Would you stand? Here's the altar call this morning. Amen. You're here. This is just an honest statement. You feel like that father, whatever the need is, you feel like that father. And in this morning, in your heart and mind, something's crying out, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. If that's you, somehow in your heart, you're crying that out. I want you to start coming right now. And you're just being honest, young, old. In your heart, there's something crying out, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Amen. Just be honest. Just come and call out to God. He's saying all things are possible. All things are possible to him that believeth. Lord, I believe. Help thou. Amen. Sometimes as young people, we struggle with all kinds of doubts. But just keep coming to Jesus. Just keep bringing it to Jesus. Lord, I believe. Oh, that's it. That's it. Fill up this altar. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I may have doubts, but I'm still coming. I may have doubts. Why don't you just come? Bring it to the Lord. 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 Act on the faith that you do have. Surely you believe something. You believe that God is real. You believe his word. Act on the faith you do have. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.
I take the finite risk of trusting
hallelujah.
As a child. Hallelujah. I believe. Help thou.
Come on, act on the faith you do have. Exercise the faith you do have. Oh, hallelujah.
Help thou my unbelief. I take the finite risk of trusting as a child.
Oh, that's it. You that have come, call out.
I believe.
Out your heart to him. Give him your life.
Help thou my unbelief.
Oh, hallelujah.
I walk into the unknown, trusting all the while.
Thank you, Jesus.
As trusting.
Thank you, Jesus.
As a child.
Thank you, Jesus.
I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I walk into the unknown, trusting all the way.